Good morning, everyone. Today's message is the final installment of our Lord Jesus' sermon that was preached on the plain. A sermon that is known as the Sermon on the Plain, based on the scripture text from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. In this sermon, our Lord used the parable of the two foundations to compare two individuals, one who listened to him and obeyed him, and the other who listened but did not do as he had said. For those of you who have not been here before or have forgotten my previous five messages, the Sermon on the Plain is not the same as the more acquainted the Sermon on the Mount, which is recorded in Matthew's Gospel from chapters 5 to 7, three chapters. As you can see, the Sermon on the Plain covers less than one chapter. Our Lord's sermon was coming to an end, and at the conclusion of it, he asked an important question to his many disciples who were listening to him in verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The title Lord in this verse comes from the Greek kuri, and it is the title that the Lord's disciples used to address him. By calling out this title twice, Lord, Lord, it means that the disciples were proclaiming their exceptional loyalty to the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus had many followers, thousands, in fact. Some were self-appointed, and others were pretend or wannabe, or pronounced as wannabe in the United States and wannup in England. They are wannabe disciples. Whoever they were, they did not do what he said. They were disobedient. Amongst his disciples, there were at least 11 of them who were listening and willing to obey. They were the authentic ones. True or authentic disciples do the things that the Lord asks them to do. At the end of this sermon, our Lord Jesus warned them and instructed them as to what was required of them or what they must do. He used the illustration of the two houses, the two foundations. One house stood and the other one collapsed. One saved and the other lost. Notice that it was this or that. It was this one or the other. There was no middle ground. The way we live our lives will endure or tumble depending on what we do with Christ's word, whether we obey or disobey him, whether we are real disciples or we are pretend disciples. Are we real disciples? This is the question we have to ask ourselves. By the end of this message, I hope and pray that we will know what sort of disciples or followers we are. To begin, let us consider firstly the real disciples in verse 47. We need to know what our Lord means to be his true disciples. The Lord Jesus said in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Amen. Based on this verse, faithful and true disciples are the ones who cometh to him, who heareth his sayings, and who doeth them. In Greek, the words cometh, heareth, and doeth are in the form of the Greek present active participles, which have the meaning of keep coming, hearing, and doing. That is a continual action. True disciples are the ones who always, always do these actions. Come to him, hear him, and do what he says. There is never a time when the true disciples ever stop these actions. Therefore, these three words, especially hearing and doing, are the key to what it means to be real disciples who have a firm foundation on God's word. Let us consider the word cometh in this verse. To be true disciples of our Lord Jesus, the first thing we must do is to come to Him. In this sermon on the plain, our Lord was preaching to a huge crowd of people, as in verse 17. The people were arranged in a widening semicircle with the newly chosen 12 right in front of Him. After them were the company of His disciples, and beyond them was a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem. The disciples were doing the right thing by coming to hear the word of God being preached and to experience real discipleship. Therefore, for us to be real and genuine disciples, we must first come to our Lord Jesus. In our today's setting, we come to our Lord Jesus Christ when we come to church in corporate worship with the body of Christ. Why do we come to corporate worship? We come to hear the preaching of His word. Let us consider the word heareth next. We come to Christ to hear His sayings. As true disciples, we must also hear Him. There are some in the huge crowd who did not hear what our Lord said. This was not because our Lord spoke in a soft voice, not because in those days there was no microphone or amplification. It was simply because they were not listening. They were physically there, but their minds were somewhere else. When I was a little boy, I would accompany my parents to church services. I would sit on the pew, but I was not really there. My mind was floating somewhere with friends or daydreaming of playing games after service. I could hear, but I was not listening. I'm sure there are some here right now who are hearing, but not listening to what I'm saying. They are like passengers sitting on a plane, taxiing along the runway, just before takeoff, when the flight attendants are demonstrating the aircraft's emergency procedures, and a soft voice from the speaker system can be heard explaining the procedures. While this were going on, as we often notice, not many passengers are listening and watching the demonstration. Some go to sleep, some read books or iPads or brochures or newspapers, and some talking to fellow passengers. I'm quite sure we all do that. If we look around, we will discover that only a handful are paying attention to the flight attendants. We are like these passengers who hear but not listening. To hear and to listen, which is really hearing with attention and understanding, require discipline. Many people nowadays who attend church services regularly do not want to hear the truth in God's word. They are quite attentive to listen to unsound doctrine, such as prosperity gospel, and to anything that pleases them. Many want to be entertained with music and singing, and some with dancing. Many people nowadays, the apostle warns in this epistle to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, reads, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." Amen. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." Is that what some of us want to hear and listen to? The truth? No way. Unsound doctrine, fables, and anything that is not in God's word? Yes. To listen, we must not be distracted. It requires discipline. It requires concentration. Hence, listening is hard work. It can be tiring too. Then how can we become good hearers and be listeners to God's word in our church? Firstly, We must pray for the preacher as well as for ourselves before we come to worship. We must come prepared to listen and concentrate. It is different to listening to classical music or watching TV or watching YouTube with bags of chips or snacks to eat or pass around to others with you talking with one another. To listen to God's word, we need to discipline ourselves to concentrate. A wholehearted concentration is needed. Pray that God empowers the preacher with the Holy Spirit, and pray that God enables us to concentrate and to understand His word. Secondly, keep our hands on the Bible, or nowadays on the Bible app or the smartphones, on the sermon text, and turn to other passages being quoted by the preacher. Thirdly, take notes. In our church, most preachers provide sermon outlines, some brief, some quite detailed. Use them as a guide to follow the preacher and write down notes that are deemed important. R. Ken Hughes, the Bible commentator, notes that, I'm quoting, "Revived hearts lead to scribbling hands," unquote. Nowadays, with our messages being posted on online, on Facebook and YouTube, access them if there's any need to fill in the gaps. Fourthly, we need to meditate and to apply what we have heard in our daily lives. I'm quite certain any preacher would like to hear from us when on Monday, may people come to him directly or nowadays by email and SMS and say that this message has awakened him and that positive resolutions have been made in response to this message. Has anyone done that? To become real disciples of our Lord Jesus, we need to come to Him, to hear and listen to Him, but we also need to be doing. Let us refresh again what our Lord said in Luke chapter 6, verse 47. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Let us now consider doeth them. How to do the sayings of our Lord Jesus? I would like to quote a story from R. Ken Hughes, who in turn quoted from our Daily Bread, dated March 1992. It goes like this. Quoting, "A young Korean man traveled a great distance to the home of the missionary who had led him to Christ, then announced his reason for the visit. 'I have been memorizing some verses of the Bible, and I want to quote them to you.' The missionary listened as the young man recited without error the entire Sermon on the Mount. He commended the young man for the remarkable feat of memory. Then, being a good missionary, he cautioned the young man to not only say the scriptures, but to practice them. The man responded, 'Oh, that is the way I learned them. I tried to memorize them, but they wouldn't stick. So I made a plan. First, I will learn a verse. Then I will do it to a neighbor. After that, I found that I could remember it.'" Unquote. This young man, knowing it or not, was a real disciple of our Lord Jesus. That was what he did. He came to Christ Jesus, he heard Christ's words, and he put Christ's words into practice. Like this young man, when we do our Lord's words, we become his real disciples. Therefore, every time we come to our Lord Jesus in our worship or in our prayers, and hear him attentively, we must determine to act upon it. Most of the time, this doing part will not be sudden or dramatic, but slow. This doing can be a change in a lifestyle, in our character, attitude, or in our relationship with others at work, such as we do not sin habitually any longer, we developed the habit of forgiving, we are spontaneously apologetic, we have a propensity to say a kind word, We show humility. We bear no ill will. We become generous in giving gifts, or and we develop a subtle change in attitude for the better, a willingness to help and to show concern of others. The key word is do it. When we do it now and do not procrastinate. Initially, it is difficult. In so doing it now, we will become true disciples of our Lord Jesus. As time goes, each step we take will become normal, familiar, and a little easier. We build ourselves a firm foundation on the Word of God. Eventually, all this becomes natural to us. To be real disciples of our Lord Jesus, we must come to Him and hear His sayings and do them. This will lead us to a strong foundation on God. But what and how are we to be true disciples? What are the characteristics of real disciples of Jesus Christ? How does the world see or make of us? In other words, what are they like when compared to the world? What are we like? As true, real disciples, we do, secondly, the second main point, unnatural undertakings. The word unnatural I use here does not refer to a perversion of any kind, but a reference to mean extraordinary. To the world, the unbelievers, the undertakings of our Lord's disciple, their behavior, attitude, outlook, reactions, relationships, etc., are unnatural. Therefore, what are these extraordinary or unnatural undertakings that real disciples of our Lord Jesus pursue? There are many undertakings that true disciples should do, but I would like to deal with only five in this message. Firstly, real disciples have an unnatural outlook. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Amen. Real disciples of our Lord Jesus look at the things which are not seen and which are eternal. This is our heavenly pursuit. The physical things that we possess cannot be taken with us when we go home to heaven. Our house and its contents, our loved ones, our wealth, our properties and cars, etc. Not even our physical bodies. After we are gone, even memories of us will fade away. Our grandchildren and future generations will not remember us. Your grandchildren will look at your tombstone. "Here lies so and so." But they may ask, "Who is this person underneath?" Real disciples have a longing for heaven, to be with the Lord. Remember what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37? "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Amen. Of course, we should love our parents, our children, and our loved ones. But we should not be obsessed with our love for them, but for God. The Apostle Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our conversation, that is citizenship in heaven, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. God is our number one priority. Disciples listened to, reflect upon, and put into practice the unearthly perspective of verses 20 to 26, as R. Ken Hughes said. With these strange blessings and woes regarding being rich, well-fed, joyful, and accepted, the disciple examines his life. Perhaps he holds too tightly to riches. Perhaps the fact that all speak well of him means he has shied away from bearing witness for Christ. So he resolved to stand firm for Christ. And Ralken Hughes continues. He obeys the word, and his life detonates brightly for the Master across the secular landscape. Is Jesus calling you in this way? Then be a disciple and do it. That's what Ralken Hughes said. Our Lord's disciples are to look to heaven. Do we desire God and to go to heaven to be with him? A true disciple's outlook is not the same as the natural earthly man. True disciples have an unnatural outlook or perspective, but they also secondly possess an unnatural love. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 35, believers hear the call to unnatural love. 27, verse 27, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men would do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And down to verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ asked us to do so, what the Lord Jesus asks us to do is so unnatural and yet supernatural. To the unbelievers or earthly natural men, why should you love your enemies? Bless them that curse you and pray for them. Are not these actions very foolish and unwise? We, as real disciples, can only do them if we possess unnatural love, that is agape love. As true disciples, we do them because our Master and Lord wants us to do them. Such agape love is not easy to do, but we can only with the help of our Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Authentic disciples have an unnatural outlook or perspective, possess an unnatural love, but thirdly, an unnatural mercy. Our Lord Jesus preached about unnatural mercy in Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. As the Father is merciful to us, real disciples are also merciful and possess a willingness to forgive whatever wrongs that have been done to us. Not what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Real disciples forgive. As I mentioned in my previous message, a forgiving nature is central to being our Lord's real and dedicated disciple. I know there are times when it is difficult to forgive those who had offended us. If we find it hard to forgive others, pray about it and ask God to help us to look at the offending party in a better light. Not to forgive will make you miserable, builds up bitterness and resentment, affecting your relationship with God and others. Now, true disciples have an unnatural outlook or perspective, possess an unnatural love, have an unnatural mercy, and fourthly, not judgmental. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 6 reads, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Amen. Real disciples are not judgmental, and they must possess a nature of acceptance or tolerance. Real disciples do not possess a judgmental critical mentality. We are not to judge for the sake of judging. R. Ken Hughes puts it this way. Our Lord, quoting him, "Jesus prohibits censoriousness, and judgmentalism," unquote. Are we judgmental, tolerant, and accepting? Do we criticize, put others down to make ourselves look good? As real disciples, we must not do this. We must not be judgmental. If we have this habit of judging or having a severe critical spirit of others and making it our favorite pastime, then we have to watch out. We have spiritual cancer. And this includes gossips about others. If we do not have anything good to say about others, keep our lips tight. Our mouths should be used for saying good things of others. Finally, true disciples have unnaturally discernment or insight. Our Lord Jesus taught the importance of discernment in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45, which is the text of our message. I gave a message on this last time, and I will quote this afterwards, right? Now, real disciples will put into practice what the Lord has said by rejecting a judgmental attitude, but are aware of and are willing to make righteous judgment. They have the courage to make doctrinal and moral judgments. When they make such righteous judgment, they do them in a loving and caring way and not in a condescending way. In my last message, I mentioned that our Lord Jesus wants us to be discerning about morality and theology. In order to discern or examine, we have to judge. We have to examine. Therefore, as the Lord's disciples, we are to judge. That means on one's belief system or doctrine, morals, and heart. This is what the Lord meant when he said in John chapter 7, verse 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Amen. As disciples, we must judge all things, and we must do it by God's grace. At the same time, we are to be non-judgmental. To be non-judgmental means we should not judge or be critical of the appearance of others or of their circumstances. We have learned who the real disciples are and what their unnatural undertakings are. They are the ones with a firm foundation on God's word. How did the Lord Jesus describe these real disciples and the pretenders in the crowd? He gave two illustrations, the two foundations. We move on to the next main point, the Lord's illustrations. Our Lord's first illustration is about a believer who is grounded in God's word, who hears his saying and is a doer of his will. In Luke chapter 6, verse 48, our Lord describes his real disciples in this way. "He is like a man who built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Amen. The Lord compares the real disciple to one who carefully makes proper plans to build his house. He plans the foundation by digging deep into the earth, ensures that the foundation is rock solid or on a rock base, and then builds his house on that strong base. Such a disciple has to put away pride and self-righteousness, has crucified the flesh with affections and lusts, as in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, has put on the mind of Christ, has taken up the cross daily, has counted all things but loss for Christ's sake, as in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, and looks forward to heaven. Of course, no real disciple has a smooth journey through his earthly life. Along the way, he encounters difficulties and afflictions in the form of temptations, persecution, discrimination, evil inducements, distractions, and rejection, and sometimes martyrdom. However, as the scriptures say, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. That is, when confronted with streams of stress, difficulties, affliction, and persecution, all this could not shake it. The real disciples can withstand them. Why? This is because of his or her faith, which was founded upon a rock. And he or she will not yield. His or her faith on the Lord Jesus is built on a solid rock foundation. That disciple will not be moved. J.C. Rao, an Anglican bishop of the 19th century, says, quoting, "The Christianity which combines good profession and good practice is a building that will not fall," unquote. Disciples who hear and listen to God's word and are doers will stand. They have a rock-solid foundation which cannot be destroyed. Finally, our Lord proceeds to describe a disciple who is not authentic. Let us read together Luke chapter 6, verse 49, together. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen. Here our Lord describes a disciple who hears Christ's words but does not obey them. This disciple is one that is without a foundation, that's built on a house upon the rock, upon the earth. Such a disciple does not have a solid foundation of God's word. Such disciples may worship in the same church as the real ones. Both may come to the same Bible study and fellowship groups. They may use the same observances and publicly affirm the same faith. The outward image of the house built on the rock and the house without any solid foundation may not be distinguishable. However, when such a disciple is put through stress, trial, and suffering, and mark what the Lord says about such a disciple, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So when storm and tempest of life beat vehemently on the house with no firm foundation, then the walls and the roofs, the physical appearance, which look so well in sunshine, in peacetime, and in calm weather, in good and happy times, will definitely collapse. Quoting from J.C. Ryle, "The Christianity which consists of merely hearing religion taught without doing anything is a building which must finally fall," unquote. His ruin will be great. As J.C. Ryle puts it again, unquote, "There is no loss like the loss of an eternal soul," unquote. Are we disciples who have no firm foundation? That's the question each of us has to answer. Let us reflect on what the Lord Jesus has said in these verses. Do we hear or not hear the Lord's words? Are we doers of his words or not? Are we authentic or wannabe disciples? You and I have to make a decision. It's very important that we make such a decision now because it affects our life in eternity. Mark very carefully what our Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 49. "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen. If we are not good hearers and listeners, make a decision today to become good hearers and listeners. Then we make a decision also to be doers of our Lord's sayings. Love one another, forgive one another, be merciful, and do the faith. Not what James says in his epistle in chapter 2, verse 17. "Even so faith, if it had not works, is dead. being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith in God and Lord and in the Lord Jesus Christ without good works is dead, as James puts it. If we say we believe in God and His Son Jesus Christ, we must show it by our works. At the end of the Sermon on the Plain, our Lord Jesus asked His disciples an important question. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The same question is asked of us today. We declare to the world that we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but do not do as He says. When we hear and do not His sayings, we are declaring our faith with our mouths, but not with our hearts. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we saved? Few are builders on rocks, and they are the ones who endured ridicule and persecution. However, many are builders on sand, and they will be disappointed when their works end in failures. All those who are listening to this message, have this message touched a sore spot today? If it has, good. If not, may this day be a turning point for those of us who have done nothing for the Lord Jesus. As I conclude this message, let me quote from the Bishop of Anglican Church, J.C. Rao, quoting, "What is the foundation on which we ourselves are building? This, after all, is the question that concerns our souls. Are we upon the rock or are we upon the sand? We love perhaps to hear the gospel. We approve of all its leading doctrines. We assent to all its statements of truth about Christ and the Holy Spirit, about justification and sanctification, about repentance and faith, about conversion and holiness, about the Bible and prayer. But what are we doing? What is the daily practical history of our lives in public and private, in the family and in the world? Can it be said of us that we not only hear Christ's sayings, but that we also practice them? The hour comes, and we will soon be here, when questions like this must be asked and answered, whether we like them or not. The day of sorrow and bereavement, of sickness and death, will make it plain whether we are on the rock or on the sand. Let us remember this presently and not trifle with our souls. Let us strive so to believe and so to live, so to hear Christ's voice and so to follow Him, that when the flood arises and the streams beat over us, our house may stand and not fall." Unquote. May God bless us. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this portion of Holy Scripture. We have said that we are believers of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim to the world that we are believers, and yet we have not been good hearers and listeners of Thy word, and many of us have failed to obey Thy sayings. We beseech Thee, Father, that Thou wilt help us to pay attention to Thy word, to Thy Son, and to the promptings of Thy Holy Spirit, that we become Thy obedient children, that we build a firm foundation upon a rock. For those of us who are here and outside Thy kingdom, we pray for them that they will receive Thy Son in their hearts, sooner rather than later. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.